All right. Well, thank you, guys. I apologize in advance for that picture being skewed, but didn't have enough time to kind of get it up and get it squared up. Let me put it to you like this. I've been doing this for a long time, and here's what I found. When good things are happening, you're going to get these little things that are just going to be, and especially for somebody like me, because I am, to my detriment, a perfectionist. I want things to go smooth, not because I'm caring about how I look. I want the Lord to look good. And so when I come out and I put something out that I feel like isn't the quality that it should be, it's not about me. It's about making him look good. And so Satan knows how to push my buttons. And here's what I've learned over the years. I've been around a lot of ministries, big ministries. You go in and the worship leader before service starts, dude's a knothead, right? Just a nasty dude. And then when worship starts, ooh, ooh, ooh. And I'm like, bro, that's a show. I am who I am when this happens. How I respond here. You know, this is who I am at my core. So to me, we go to plan B. Doesn't work, we go to plan C. You make it hurt happen. Satan has no foothold. See ya. We're moving. All right? So here we go. I know why we're not recording this talk is because both of these talks that I'm doing this morning is probably only the second time that I've given either one of them. So they're brand new talks. What did I do? Oh, you are recording. Great. So now you get to see how bad it really is, okay? I've not done these talks a lot. They're new ones. I've written books and stuff on it, but it's not like a presentation. And there's a very major difference between spoken and written word. You know that. So we're going to jump into it. Now, before I get into this, I don't know. How many have not been to a session this time? Have not been. Okay, one of you. So the rest of you, you've already been to one, but I'm going to say it again. Get your sophomore, junior, senior, high schooler to Ankeny, Iowa this summer to one of our classes. We teach creation apologetics, critical thinking at Faith Baptist Bible College, 3-credit-hour transferable course, so you don't have to go to Faith in the future. Room and board covered, the whole works. So most of you have heard that, but I have to stress this because I love this time. This is where it's real, you know? Because right now, I'm like a butterfly. Boom, I'm here, then I'm gone. When you get 5 days, and we're talking 6-7 hours a day, and then afterwards, I don't disappear. Now we're going to go out and play disc golf together. We're going to sit and just talk. It's like, that's when you get to really do some discipleship. And I'm at this stage in my ministry now that I feel like that's what I have to do. The butterfly thing is cool. It helps me keep going. But in the big scheme of things, I got to start pouring in more one-on-one type stuff. So I'm going to push that class everywhere I go because I want that time, okay? So, by the way, how many have ever seen any of our debunked videos? Almost every hand should go up if you've heard me speak on this because I've done one. I've got a brand new one. Would you like to see it? That was lame. Would you like to see it? This one came out this last Monday, all right? It's called Science Disproves God. Really? We're going to debunk that claim. So the one person that hasn't heard me speak, put your seatbelt on. It's fast, okay? The rest of you know what you're in for. Whoops. Interesting. And see, I'm telling you, you got no foothold here. Do what you want to do. You're not going to get me mad. Here we go.
She blinded me with science.
Science. That's the big word these days, isn't it? Science says this. Science proves that. Science has all the answers. Science will one day explain everything. Science disproves God. Well, first of all, science doesn't say anything. Scientists do, which means a person has to interpret data or evidence. But hey, I know what people generally mean when they say science says, so I'll go along with it for the sake of simplicity. But let's at least make sure that when we say science, we're talking about the same thing. Pop over to the dictionary. Dictionary.com circa 2022, you'll get these definitions. One, a branch of knowledge or study dealing with a body of facts or truths systematically arranged and showing the operation of general laws. Two, systematic knowledge of the physical or material world gained through observation and experimentation. Okay, I'll accept those if you will. Makes sense, sounds good. But notice two things here. One, showing the operation of general laws means the general laws must already be here to show. And observation and experimentation both require preconditions of intelligibility. Be what you say, intelligible. Just another way of saying that there are certain things that must already be in place, that must exist, and certain assumptions we make in order for us to do science at all. For instance, and bear with me here, science requires, one, a human being with a properly functioning brain and basically reliable senses, right? I mean, that's pretty important. But why do we suppose that our eyes, noses, and other senses reliably report stuff about the universe? Without this assumption, science would be impossible. Likewise, without our memories being basically reliable, we can't do science. Two, science requires the laws of nature to be orderly and consistent, right? If the laws of nature aren't consistent, like, let's say, the properties of gravity change every 3 seconds or something, you can't accurately test or repeat anything. Thus, there's no meaningful observation or experimentation. Thus, thou canst do science. Three, science requires laws of logic. Without them, you can't analyze ideas, reason properly, or determine what data or evidence means. Without them, simply put, you can't do science. Four, science requires objective morality. If you are in any way tempted to let greed, power, prestige, fame, or whatever alter the truth or get in the way of honest observation, experimentation, or truthful recording, then science would be a mess. Yet, why you ought to be truthful, why you ought to record data accurately, must be a virtue that exists before you can do meaningful science. Hey, look, simple fact is this. Without just these four preconditions, and there are others, there is no quote-unquote science, period. But here's the big cue for you. What worldview best explains these preconditions? Because in the end, a correct worldview must be logically consistent and be able to explain these preconditions. And there's only one that does. Follow along and dig what I dish out. Genesis 1:26 through 27, Romans 1:20, and Psalm 139:14 declare an all-knowing, all-powerful God made us in his image and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. This is why our senses are basically reliable. Jeremiah 33:25 and Colossians 1:17 declare he established his covenant with day and night and the fixed order of heaven and earth, and that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is why the universe is orderly and consistent. Isaiah 1:18 and Proverbs 22:17 call for us to reason together and to apply your mind to my knowledge. And 2 Timothy 2:13 adds, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is where the laws of logic emanate, from the mind of a rational God. In Titus 1:2 it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. This is where objective morality flows from, the very nature of God, who cannot be inconsistent, deny himself, or lie. These are the non-arbitrary reasons Bible believers provide for the preconditions of intelligibility. Now, on atheism, on materialism, on evolutionism, if that's a word, how are these accounted for? How does accidental non-life produce life, let alone life with reliable senses? How does chaos cause order? How can laws of logic exist in a strictly material world? How do random mutations make morality? See, they really don't have logical, consistent answers. In fact, as Dr. Jason Lyle asserts, the logical prerequisites for knowledge, which most people take for granted, are provided only in biblical creation and would be impossible in an evolutionary or atheistic universe. So, there it is, my quasi-qualified questioners, quickly quizzing quantitative qualified quizzes quite quietly. There's only one worldview that is rational, logical, and best accounts for the preconditions of intelligibility on which science depends, and that, my friends, is the biblical worldview. So, this here notion, this here idea that science has somehow disproved God has been, like poetry in motion, debunked. Adios.
So, most of you have already heard how you can become a debunked defender and get them before I release them to the general public, right? Right? Those of you that haven't, get with me. I'll tell you how to do it. But go to your app store if you want to get our debunked videos, and all you have to search for is R-F-O-R-H, and you'll see the app. It's free, and it's not just debunked on there. It's ours. There's two TV shows that are on there, 28 minutes and 58 minute shows. There's a lot of stuff, and it's all free. I want you to have tools, okay? So put it to use. But today we came to talk about the march of progress. Are you guys familiar with that, march of progress? You know what it really is pertaining to? It's pertaining to the original chart showing ape-like ancestor that slowly, gradually, over time, became human. That's the march of progress. And so we're going to start off in scripture here. It says this in John. It says, John 8, 31 to 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you, now this is kind of a key thing. There is a responsibility on our side. We have to be engaged. Our faith is not something that we can just not be involved in. If you what? Abide in my word. We have to abide in his word. That means we have to know his word, which means we have to study his word and be obedient to it. You are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what is the truth when it comes to this? Well, science has proven slow gradual processes, ape-like ancestor, turn to human. What's the truth? Well, God gives us a completely and totally different history. God said in the beginning, he created man in his image. That's where our value comes from. I said this to the young ladies in the school that I was at day before yesterday. I show a video. It's a Dove commercial. It's a real commercial. Lady comes in, sits down. And they're recording this, and then it's a time lapse. And they start working the makeup. They start doing the hair. Then they take the photographs, and they take the photographs, and they put it on the computer. Then they start doing the Photoshop and extending this and taking this and cleaning this. And then you see the billboard. We have a generation that has been marketed after since birth. This generation we have now has been marketed after since birth. Their whole concept of was right, wrong, real, they have been marketed since birth. And most of them, think about it, how can you get to where America, the most Christian nation on the planet, quote unquote, 400 plus thousand churches can get to the stage where Christianity is invisible and we see what we see going on in the culture? Because we've dropped the ball, guys. And this younger generation, their sense of value, how can suicide be the number two killer of our teenage young ladies? We're the most quote unquote Christian nation on the planet. I mean, come on, I just got done having some egg pie, bro, I'm telling you. And the little hot dog things. We got more of anything and everything that you could ever want. And suicide is the number two killer of our teenagers because they've been duped. They think their value now is based on how well they look compared to a billboard. That's why we spend a billion dollars a year in plastic surgery in America, the most Christian, quote-unquote, nation on the planet. Sucking something out, stuffing something in to look like what doesn't even exist. We want to look like the billboard. The billboard's not real. This is real. God created you in his image. And I don't care what you look like. I don't care how talented you are not or are. You are gifted. You are loved. You're unique and created in his image, and that's where our value comes from. But if we let an external source tell us where our value comes from, it can be taken away. Our value can be taken away. Hello, that's what I see going on in our culture. But if God created me in his image and God loved me enough to die for me while I was spitting on him, nothing can take that away. There is nothing that can take that value away. But there's an attempt to, and it's in that messaging of given enough time, right circumstances, evolutionary ancestors turned into us. Where did that image come from? The march of progress. Image, where did it come from? This book. What's very interesting to me, Life Nature Library, my parents bought this series for me when I was a young person. I had the entire series. I no longer have the entire series. But 3 years ago, I'm now 62. 3 years ago, as we were just moving books around in my library, guess which book I found? I have had this book in my library since I was probably 9 years old, and I've never read it. I looked at the pictures, because the pictures are cool, but this time I did more than that, because I said, I can't believe it. I'm opening it up, and I'm looking at the pictures, and there it is, The March of Progress. How many have seen this picture? This is the original. I guarantee you, if you're my age, right? You saw it in the science classroom because this was the poster that classrooms across this planet bought and put up on the walls. It was not, they didn't buy the book. they bought the poster. It was like 10 times more posters were bought than the book. I never read it. Today we're going to read it. I'm not going to use any Christian stuff. I don't need to. I think you teach a generation how to critically evaluate what they're being given and dig beyond the veneer, man. Don't just follow for that surface stuff. Dig. Go and find what they got. So let's take this. We're going to break down a few of these. Maybe not all, but a few of them as a minimum. Because once I start seeing you go to sleep on me, I'll have to punt and go another direction, okay? But here we go. Pliopithecus. My goodness, Carl, what are you going to do? That's an evolutionary ancestor. Look at that. Let's read what they write right directly underneath the image. I'd never done it until 3 years ago. On the basis of its teeth and skull, it is now classed as an ancestor of the gibbon line. I need some help here. I need some critical thinkers here. I need some application time. From that statement alone, what are the implications? They don't have the whole thing. True. That's a very key piece. What else? What else? What else? By the way, oh, it's what? It's, by the way, since you did good, you get to pick a sticker. All right? All right. Now, ma'am, you said something very key. You're going to get a sticker, too, once she's done picking. We'll pass it up here. But what was it that you said? What is the gibbon line? That is a very key question and a very good question. If it's in the gibbon line, is it in the human lineage line? Hello? Anybody? Pass them up this way. Thank you. Man, there you go. You get to choose a sticker. What are they telling us in their text underneath their picture of a supposed ancestor that's in the human lineage, the march of progress? It's not in the human lineage. That's their stuff, right? So, wow, Pliopithecus, so much for that one. How about the next one? Proconsul. Proconsul is considered to be a very early ape, the ancestor of the chimpanzee and perhaps of the gorilla. Hello, what are the implications? Somebody wants a free sticker. They're cool. Anybody? They were monkeys. That was you, Pastor?
It was.
Here you go. If it's in the chimpanzee and perhaps the gorilla lineage, is it in the human lineage? Then what's it doing on the family tree supposedly depicting human evolution? Thank you, sir. How about this one? Dryopithecus. Ooh, now we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Though its skeleton is tantalizingly incomplete, Dryopithecus can be fairly described from a few jaws and teeth. What are the implications? I just heard a bunch of mumbling. I didn't hear anything clear here, right? Give me some clear stuff so I can give somebody a sticker. It's what? It's an assumption. Pass it back to the man with the assumption. You better believe it's an assumption. And it's based on what? You're telling me from a few jaws and teeth, you know how something walked? Hello? I think you need a little bit more to know if something's walking upright or bent over than just jaws and teeth. Let's update it now. Let's bring it to the current, because if they didn't have anything really good in there, I kind of tried to look it up. So Dryopithecus, what is Dryopithecus? What if Dryopithecus, that looks like a little gorilla, really was a little gorilla that had already branched off from humans? It's not human. It's not in the human lineage. It had already branched off. It's called an evolutionary dead end. It never led to human beings. Why is it on the human evolution chart? I'm a simple man. I just wondered like these things. How about this next one? Come on now. Oreopithecus. Oh, I know. I know some of you are like, come on, Carl. Oreopithecus is cool. But not this Oreopithecus. I'm not talking about that one. Okay. I'm talking about the one that they got on there, okay? So let's take a look at it. Oreopithecus, a likely side branch on man's family tree. Hello, hello, implications. Where's my stickers? Pass it to that. Sir. Pass the stickers to my man. If it's a side branch, it's not in the human. I know you're going to be sick of this, right? Okay, Carl, we're done. We can go into the next talk. That's essentially going to be the rest of the talk here. But you know why I do this? Is because I want this generation to see this is their stuff. I'm not making this up. Am I going to get in some creationist book back here? Oh, look at this creationist book they're making fun of. This is their stuff. Young person, if you want to walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what you're walking to. You think we have a bad position? This is their position. I'm not using Christian stuff. It goes on, it says this even down at the bottom, was clearly an aberrant ape. What does that mean? It shouldn't be in the chart. Number one, we can just put it like that. It shouldn't be in the chart, period. Let's give an update. Update. Oreopithecus fossils are poorly preserved and some of the bones are crushed, making it difficult to draw definitive conclusions. Then what is it doing on the chart? Sir. Could you hear what he said? Here, let me give you the mic. Repeat it again. I'm gonna go find the stickers and get you a sticker.
Twice. Can't say that twice in a row. So they are weaving. They're creating a narrative. They're weaving a quilt. They're taking a piece here and a piece there, and trying to create something that's not real.
That's essentially what it is. We have a belief that human evolution is a fact. So therefore, whatever I find in the world around me, I'm going to take and make it fit. This is not an evidence problem. This is an interpretation of evidence problem, right? Oh, by the way, may I step on some toes? Christian, many times we do the same things. Be very careful. I can't tell you the number of memes that I've gotten of giant bones found here proves the Bible. And they're photoshopped. Guys, quit biting on all that stupid stuff. I mean, we do the same thing. We'll take stuff and we really want it so bad that we'll see it even if it's not there. Be careful is all I'm saying to you. Three sources minimum before I use anything. Three sources. Read the fine print and go find out what's going on. Next one. Ramapithecus. Ooh, here's a good one. Ramapithecus is now thought by some experts to be the oldest of man's ancestors in a direct line. Uh-oh. We got one. We got a keeper. Let's keep reading. This hominid status is predicated, upon a few teeth, some fragments of a jaw, and a palate. Unmistakable human in shape. Ma'am. Let me give you the mic because I want people to hear what you're saying. No. You can do it. You're good. We're friends.
Wasn't the Ramapithecus? Was that the one who they found boar teeth and then filed them? No. Which one was that?
That's a different one.
Okay. Never mind. I don't deserve a sticker.
Don't. Yeah. No. Nothing wrong. Sir, pass her the sticker. She jumped in. That's good. Look, fragments of a jaw and a palate, unmistakable human in shape. Can I go out on a limb here? Maybe it was a human. They found a human palate. Maybe it was a human. Sir. Hold up. This is good. They got to hear you.
During the flood, there were a lot of animals being killed, mixed around in the sediment and water going around on all the earth. So you might think it's possible that some monkey bones and some human bones got mixed up in the same place. Scientists dug them up. Maybe they were within 6 feet of each other, so they assumed they were from the same skeleton.
That is an explanation. He's already got a sticker. I can't give him two. Well, get another sticker. Take another. Pass him. Give him another sticker. That's good. If God's word is true, and God judged sin by a global flood, what would I expect to find? Okay. Update. I need some special, to put into here. That might make it fun. Rhamopithecus was thought to be a distinct genus that was the first direct ancestor of modern humans, Homo sapiens, before it became regarded as that of the orangutan ancestor, Civopithecus. What does that mean? We got to pass those stickers back over to my man. Where are they? What's that mean? Did you get them already? Oh, you got them already. So what's that mean?
They were wrong.
They were wrong. Anybody else? Anybody got something? If it is the ancestor of the orangutan ancestor Civopithecus, is it in the human lineage? Then why is it in the chart? Ma'am, at the back, I got to run. Hang on. We need people to hear what you're saying. All right. We might ought to get a second. I need a young man to run. We got a second mic we can run with?
Thank you. I hope you guys understand my accent first.
My wife's Japanese.
Oh, okay. Then we spoke two languages. I was in Hot Springs, South Dakota, and the kind of museum, they found all those mammoths all together, and there is a plague says that they die because they fall in a pit and they drown, which is very much like actually they die in that way, drown it, but not because they fall in a pit, but because the flood.
Right.
But people don't see that, don't connect it.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. Pick a sticker and pass them back my direction. We got another one? Can I get a young man volunteer? You're going to run? All right. That's good. He's young. All right. Yes, I mean, what are fossils in the first place? Things that were covered up by water very quickly to get the fossilization process. Let's go to the next one. Oh, now we're in trouble. I'm sorry, but now it's going to get real, okay? Australopithecus africanus. Now, this is a family name. The Australopithecines sounds big. All it means is southern ape, all right? That's all it means. So don't get intimidated. Ooh, Australopithecus africanus. There are various species. Now, I'm having to add in, okay, because they didn't do this on the chart. So I'm having to bring in some other things. There's various species of Australopithecus. There's a bunch. Richard Dawkins uses this big time to mock and ridicule. Various species of Australopithecus. Why don't you go look at them? Oh, I did. The robust Australopithecines, I'm going to give you an update. Australopithecus africanus is not a human ancestor. Rather, Homo sapiens and Australopithecus africanus share a common ancestor. What's that mean? It's not in the human ancestry, even though it's in the chart. Okay? And that's the update. It doesn't have that on the original chart. But what do they say on the original chart? Take a look. Robust Australopithecines, he represents an evolutionary dead end in man's ancestry. What does that mean? Not an ancestor. Why is he on the chart? Young man, right over there at the very back row. You got to make sure to say that in the mic because I want everybody to hear it. There you go.
He proves that the whole chart is wrong.
We haven't got through the whole chart yet. Give him a sticker. That's good. Robust Australopithecines. We need to take it a step further because there's a few of them. I mean, there really are. Australopithecus aethiopicus. Here's the evidence for aethiopicus. That's it. Don't wait for more. That's it. What can you know from that evidence? Can you know that it walked upright? Can you know that it was a human ancestor? What can you know from that skull right there? Give me somebody. It had two eyes. Very good. Give him a sticker. What else can you know? What was that? Star Trek? What else? What can you know from that skull? You can know some good stuff. Give a hand so we can get you on mic because I want people to be able to hear.
The skull is flat, so I would think that it would have walked on its four legs.
The skull is flat. What do you mean, flat?
It looks flat. Yeah.
The face? Now, that's a very interesting thing because humans, look at our face. Pretty much straight up and down, right? Apes, you can tell an ape's skull. Why? Because it looks like a ski slope. Okay? And it is flat. Another thing you can tell is they don't have a nose bone. Apes can't wear glasses. We can wear glasses. We have a nose bone. Very handy. Right? Very different. One more feature that you should pick out, sir. The mohawk. Come on, baby. He's radical. Give him a sticker. What is that mohawk for? It's very important. And it's one of the easiest ways to tell the difference between an ape and a human. If they have that, there's a reason for it. All right? Listen, I'm gonna beat you back here. All right? What's the reason for it? I'll come around behind you.
Don't they use that so they can, like, smash things with their skull?
Oh, pachycephalosaur, right? They ram each other with their heads. No. Nice try. That's the muscle attachment for their jaws. That's why their jaws are so strong, because they have these massive muscles that attach to that sagittal crest. Gives them really a lot of power to bite things. All right? But that's it. And now you got this from that? Update. All of the Australopithecus that they list in here are no longer called Australopithecus. They're now called Paranthropus. Who cares, Carl? You should care. Because from the name alone, you can know what it is. What does Paranthropus mean? Let me take you to the Smithsonian. Paranthropus robustus. It's the same thing. Paranthropus, here we go. Para means beside or near, anthropus, man. If it's beside or near men, what does that mean? Thank you very much. He needs a sticker, man. He needs it. He's answered like two or three of them so far. Let me show you the chart. Remember when we celebrated Charles Darwin's 150th anniversary of the publication of Origin of Species and the 100th anniversary of birth of his birth and all that, right, a few years back? They made a chart depicting the latest and greatest and most up-to-date chart for human evolution. Here it is. You start here, and guess what? You get apes, you get humans. These are all Paranthropus. Robustus, remember, we've been talking about him. Boise Aethiopicus. Look at them. Every one of those former Australopithecines are now in the middle of nowhere. They're all ape, every one of them. This is the human lineage. This is the common ancestor between apes and humans. Anybody see a problem? What was the big dog that used to be there? Lucy. Let's spend a little bit of time on Lucy. Just a little bit, okay? Because this is still the most famous of all the supposed evolutionary ancestors. This is what they found, which, by the way, if you come with me to the Smithsonian, we do a two-hour tour. We go through the Hall of Human Origins. We go through every one of the supposed ancestors. Here's what they found. Here's what we see. We're skipping the ones that had 17 bone fragments. Yeah, one of our ancestors had 17 bone fragments, three pieces of a jaw, a single skull that was crushed so flat, it was crushed flat, that they were like, it took them, I forget how many years now, to expand it back out. Another one, oh, this is a good one. When they found the pelvis, we know this thing walked upright because the pelvis looked human. Oh, my goodness. The only problem is that when they found it, it looked like, quote, an Irish stew, unquote. It was so crushed and mutilated, it looked like an Irish stew, according to the guy that found it. He took 15 years to scan in all those tiny crushed pieces into a computer so he could reconstruct the hip. And when he did, can you believe it? It had a hip like a human and walked like a human. You got an Irish stew, bro. How do you know what it looked like? This is big. What are we going to do? Oh, she is so popular, she got a GIF not just an image. A GIF on Google. Come on. You are big time when you get a GIF on Google, right? And the imagery that you'll see when you see them in textbooks and in the museums, it's very compelling. I mean, how can you argue with that? I mean, that is obviously an ape-like ancestor. I mean, from the neck up, I got to be honest, that's an ugly woman. I'm not lying. I'm just... $1 billion a year in plastic. She needs it. I'm going to just put it to you, okay? But from the neck down, looking mighty human. The only problem is that when she had a bad hair day, it was all over her body. That's not a good thing for a lady, okay? Like one of my dear friends, he wrestled as George the Animal Steel. Anybody remember him? Dear man, he became a Christian late in life. He and I became best friends. We did ministry together. Dude, when he died, check, this is a bunny trail. Most of you don't care. When he died, this is a true story. I didn't know that he had died until I was flipping through and I saw a video. And it was George the Animal Steel talking. And I said, hi, his name's Mr. Myers. I wonder what Mr. Myers got to say. Boom, I put it on. If you're watching this, I'm dead. And then he proceeded to give a testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done in his life and everything. And I know where I'm at. Do you know where you're going? I was like blown out of water, man. But he wrestled, and his big gimmick was he had hair all over his body, and he dyed his tongue green. But that was cool. He wishes he had that much hair, right? Carl, that's obvious. Ape-like ancestor? Looks ape, looks human. What are we going to do? We're going to look at the actual evidence. There it is. Now, point number one. Swiss scientists started studying the bones 40 years after they were released initially. They found something interesting out. She wasn't a she. She was a he. Lucy wasn't even female. Lucy was a male. It only took 40 years to figure that out. And the Swiss scientists that figured that out, this is what they wrote. They suggested a new name, and the name they suggested was Lucifer. I'm not joking, but when I read that, I said amen. Because that set of bones has been used more to lie to a couple of generations than any other set of bones. So I actually have a T-shirt. I do. Lucy was a dude. I do. I have that T-shirt. So anyway, point number two, Lucy was supposedly 40% complete, but that's not true. There's 206 bones in the adult human body as well as the adult ape body. If you want to start counting bones, you will not find 40%. You'll find 23 to 28% at the max. Okay? Now, that's still really good compared to 17 bone fragments in a single skull. Why do you have to exaggerate your position? That is Satan's realm. Christian, let your yes be yes and your no, no. We don't need to blow things up, and we don't need that. All right? So they had 23 to 28%. But what did the evidence that they find actually support? Does it support that it's an ape-like ancestor or not? Well, I'm going to cut to the chase. We could spend a good 40 minutes on Lucy, but we won't. But let me just give you a couple of pieces. All right? They found 7 bone fragments for the skull for Lucy. When they reconstructed it, and you go to the Smithsonian, it's got human features in it. Whew, Carl, it's not totally ape. It's not totally human. I mean, come on. Critical thinkers, it's time to win a sticker. What is the problem with the reconstruction on both sides? Critically evaluate the evidence. Mr. Tom. It was reconstructed by somebody with a bias. Absolutely true. He's already got a sticker. No more stickers for him. All right, over here, they're putting pieces. Okay, he definitely needs a sticker. And let him have the mic on that one again, because people need to hear that, because that's a very, very good point. What is it now?
They filled in the pieces that weren't there.
What do you mean? Point that out to people.
Well, they have a lower jaw.
Here, let me make you an official speaker. Take the laser pointer and do your pointing, bro. All right. It's cool. When you get your first laser pointer, you're an official speaker.
I feel official. Where's the point on this?
The little button, yeah. All right. There you go.
So they filled in the lower jaw.
Okay.
And... I don't believe the whole skull was there on the original picture.
How can you tell?
It just looks like this is the original piece back here.
Yep.
And all this is plaster.
Money. Yep. You definitely get a sticker. They just filled this in. They didn't find that on Lucy. The one that they did find that were related to Lucy, the guy who made the reconstruction, I'm going to play that for you. Take a listen to what the guy who put the reconstruction together said about the family Australopithecus afarensis, okay?
As we assemble larger pieces from smaller pieces, joining them together, we begin to get a fairly impressive picture of a species that has a very ape-like face, with the big protruding brow ridges. Very ape-like.
Hello? But then you go to the museum and you see this. Look, I spoke in California, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, men's conference, father-son conference, I should say, up in the mountains. Really cool place. I got a neat place up there. And so I'm speaking at the father-son conference, and in walks Rafael Dos Anjos. Any MMA fans in here? Anybody? Anybody? I love MMA. Sorry. I love it. He's an MMA fighter. Dude comes in. He's got crazy eyebrow ridges. MMA fighters, football players, a lot of them have that. Because, guys, a couple things. When we bang that area, it tends to build up. And number two, the longer we live, the bigger our eyebrow ridges grow. Sometimes it's not so cool being a guy, okay? His eyebrow ridges made hers look sick. Dude just told me that this family, this species had big protruding eyebrow ridges, but I don't see it on there. Why? Because when they filled this in, they didn't put them there. Why? Listen to the man that Mr. Tom made a very accurate statement. I wanted to get a human soul into this ape-like face to indicate something about where he was headed. You know he's headed somewhere? From a skull. To get a banana, that's about the only thing you know he's headed. That's it. Guys, can I hear y'all grunt? No, no, it's got to be in unison. You ready? Grunt. Oh, good. This is good. This is going to be good. Because I'm going to be pointing up here, so I can't do the hand-waving thing. And so here's the rules. You must grunt once, and you can only grunt once. No double grunts allowed, okay? So I'm going to put these skulls up on this on the screen here. I'm going to point to them individually. And I want you must grunt once. Only once. I want you to grunt when I point to the skull that is the most ape-like. You ready? Most ape-like. Most ape-like. Most ape-like. That was a double grunt. I heard that double grunt from a block away, brother. Most ape-like. Most ape-like. Most ape-like. Most ape-like. Most ape-like. Ooh, I think he won. I think he won. Okay, now, most human-like. You ready? Most human-like. 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 He wins. And you're all wrong. Every one of those is Australopithecus afarensis. Yeah. I said most human-like. And none of them are. They're all Australopithecus afarensis. Every one of them. How can you have this many different variations? Oh, by the way, there's about 10 others that I've got. Because if all you have are seven pieces, what you fill in around it is going to be dependent on your bias, your worldview. Let me show you something. This one blew me away. Non-Christian source. Chimp, human, Lucy. Oh, my. She is halfway in between. She's the perfect. She's it. What am I going to do? Okay, time for the sticker. What observation can you make from the evidence? Got one right next to you.
It looks far more like the ape skull than the human skull.
It looks far more like what?
The ape skull than the human skull.
This looks more, okay, good observation. Sir, Tom? What's that? 30% of it is fabricated. Do you notice the black section? These guys, come on, man, you're missing out on your stickers. Everybody got them, ma'am.
The black section that they've imposed doesn't even connect the two of the real sections. So how do they know where they were in place to each other?
Very good observation. Another, yes, sir?
The black section is the only part of the
that looks different from the chimp. In the far back right, Mr. Come on, man, give me your name. I'm so brain dead, I've forgotten. Brett Berry, what's it? Run?
I see the shape of the skull, the human, is more rounded, probably because he has more room inside for the brain than the other two.
You got to give her another sticker, bro. That is an excellent observation. Because now watch this. Watch. That's my Bill Nye moment. Watch. We're going to get rid of this, first of all. Eyebrow ridges, big protruding eyebrow ridges, not. But that's because they didn't make it that way. Doesn't mean that that's not the way that it was. Let's get rid of the black section and take what we actually found, compare it to a chimp, compare it to a human. Yeah, sure looks like us. Now, watch this. What is the cranial capacity of a chimpanzee? Brain size. Anybody got a guess? If you get this, you get two stickers. Grapefruit. How many cc's? 400. All right? All the scale. This is 400 cc's. What is the cranial capacity of Lucy? Go out on a limb. It's sticker opportunity. Give me a hand. Sir? 300. Anybody else? 200. I got 600. Nobody got the right one. Sir? What? What'd you say?
400.
He gets a sticker. What's the cranial capacity of a human? What's that? 12 to 1400. It really depends. He gets a sticker because it is 1200 as well. It is. It's a range there, typically 12 to 1400. So now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something very nasty.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to put all of these. This is the original picture. But now I'm going to put them to scale, their actual size. Yeah, she really looks like us now. And let's take a look at the skull from behind. You see, when you put all the artwork on it and you cover it up with your reconstruction, you're the magician, am I right? No? You're not the magic guy? I had a magic guy. Yeah. That's what I thought. Brother, this is magic at its best. Right here. This is magic at its best. Guys, we got to understand. When you go to St. Louis Zoo, they don't have it anymore, but when you used to go to St. Louis Zoo and you saw this, you were being lied to. I mean, they show her with a human hand thinking about what's for dinner. It's a wonderful pose that might make it on a home living magazine, but it's not true. And this one, I love this one here. Is that, look at the look on that lady's face. Is she proud? Is she proud? That's a proud woman right there. And you know why she is? Because look at the pecs on her man. I am just telling you right now. If I had pecs like that, I would demand that my wife look at me like that all day. Right? And you didn't know this. Ooh, Australopithecus afarensis, they were a very worshipful species. Oh, yes. Look at the whole hand waving thing. Ooh. And look at the look on the child's face. They were just like kids today. I don't want to go to Sunday school. Future Fortune 500 CEO. This is amazing. Look at that. That's amazing. Hello? What was the evidence? 7 pieces of a skull. And from that, you got future Fortune 500 CEOs. When you go to the Smithsonian, young person, if you're going to walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what they got. But when you go to the museum, oh my goodness, Carl, what are you going to do? They got a lot of evidence proving that we came from an ape-like ancestor. No, they don't. They got a lot of reconstructions. And by the way, I'm going to step out on a limb here and possibly get in trouble with some of you, but that's okay. If I'm wrong, point it out to me. But if I'm right, if it steps on your toes, deal with it. Evolution is a racist philosophy. I didn't say evolution is necessarily racist. Evolution is a racist philosophy because it teaches the further back you go, the darker you are. You don't start getting smarter till you get more modern. Ape-like ancestor in Africa ate fish, spurred brain development, and some of those black folks got smarter. So the smart black folk moved north where it's cold, so that they could turn white over time. You think I'm joking? I can show you the videos. That's exactly what it's taught. First of all, smart people leave the beach and move north where it's cold. Wrong. Ain't happening. I'm living on the beach. Dummy's moving north. Oh, you can't believe it. Up north, they got everything. You need to go. I'll stay here and take care of this poor old beach for you. Right? Number two, eating fish makes you smart. Then I should be dumber than a brick because I'm just going to tell you. When I eat, stab, cut, chew. If I got a spit bone, I want nothing to do with it. And my wife is Japanese, thank you very much, from Japan, thank you very much, and she likes fish. And I'm not talking just fish. I'm talking those little tiny nasty things where she's cooking those, and I'm a block from the house, and it's like she's cooking fish. I had to lay down the law. I am the man of the house. I wear the pants. She just tells me which ones to wear. You cannot cook that fish in the house. I sounded good. It didn't work. You think squeezing toothpaste in the end or the middle is a big deal? Try coming home and smelling that fish when you don't like fish. Guys, stab, cut, chew. That's how you eat. Stab, cut, chew. Right? Anyway, notice something about these reconstructions. Do you notice the eyes? Oh, you saw. You were going to point that out? Go ahead. Let them point it out.
Human eye.
Forget about what I said. What did you notice?
All the reconstructions have human eyes.
Oh, very good point. Do apes have whites around their eyes? No. They took a very ape-like skull, they put human eyeballs into it, and brother, we bought it. And today, remember our chart? Remember our chart celebrating the birth of Darwin and all that sort of a thing? Let's take a look one more time because I want you to see it again. This is Australopithecus afarensis, better known as Lucy. This is the missing link between apes and humans. Is Lucy the missing link? No. According to their chart, it is not in the human lineage. It's an evolutionary side end, a dead end. That's it. By the way, if any of you want this kind of information, I'm skipping a bunch of stuff. There's two ways you can get it. Number one, Lucy Unlinked is a book that I put together taking five features of Lucy using secular sources and fleshing it all out. How many of you downloaded our app? The rest of you, shame on you. Download it. Go to the bottom, it says merch. Carl, you're trying to sell me. No, I'm not. Hit merch, and when you hit merch, it's going to say free PDFs and booklets. Hit that, you will find this book and all of its information in there free of charge. Guys, I do my best to give everything away that we produce. I'm saying that genuinely, sincerely, so you can read it there. You want to buy a hard copy? I'll sell you one. But you can read it for free. This talk, this March of Progress, is a booklet that you can find on that merch, free PDFs and booklets, March of Progress, and it's laid out in a booklet format, and you can read it free of charge. I don't make hard copies of that, so sorry, you're going to have to get it there. Merch, merchandise, merch, M-E-R-C-H, yes ma'am. Thank you for asking. All right, so let's wrap this up because you guys got to go get some, man, that's some good stuff back there. That's some good stuff. We're skipping Neanderthal. Well, let me give you one thing. I got to give you a little bit on Neanderthal. Let's take a secular quote here. Ape to Man, History Channel. Take a listen to what they say about Neanderthal.
Neanderthal seems so promising when it's first presented. It seems like it's going to be the answer. But on closer inspection, it starts to fall apart. Most importantly, the key fossils just seem to be too much like humans. Neanderthal, at best, is a man with some ape qualities.
Neander Valley, where they found the first bones, when they first found him, they made this picture. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a scary dude. I would not want to run into him on a dark night, right? And by the way, they found bones. How do they know how hairy something is from just bones? And, in addition, look at the toenails. Bro could kill you with his toenails. You know how big somebody's toenails are from his bones? That's pretty good. Later on, they found more bones, and then they depicted it like this. He's walking upright. He's having to wear skins, lost all the hair. How'd they figure that out? They did. Today, you walk into the Neanderthal Museum in Neander Valley in Germany. This is Neanderthal man. That is a Southern Baptist preacher walking down the street. I'm just telling you. Couldn't pick him out of a lineup if you go down to the Southern Baptist Convention, okay? Do you know what I find interesting? I've been doing this for a long time, and when I first started, I had the blessing and the privilege to travel with a man named Duane Gish. One of his books is back there, Creation Scientists Answer Their Skeptics. Very good book. I was involved in the ministry when that book came out. That looks just like Duane Gish. I am not lying to you. I find it interesting that a missing link has evolved into a creationist. Let me wrap it up, because this is the part that you don't get unless you have the book. The text. What does the text say? Although proto-apes and apes were quadrupedal, what's that mean? Walked on all fours. All are shown here standing for purposes of comparison. So what does that mean? The ones that are showing walking upright didn't walk upright. The pictures are a complete and total fabrication. It's a lie. And then down here at the bottom, that's where it says. But then up top here, when you read up top, all of those. Those are all the proto-apes. They're all gone. None of them in the human lineage. And then we go over here and we read up top here, and this is what it says. It is a revealing story, not only for the creatures it shows, but also because it graphically illustrates how much can be learned from how little. Many of the figures shown here have been built up from far few fragments, a jaw, some teeth perhaps, as indicated by the white highlights, and thus are products of educated guessing. Guys, when you go through and use nothing but secular sources, this, the original chart that is now global, not a one of those is in the human lineage, and every one of those are human. Neanderthal, human. Cro-Magnon, human. And we're losing kids in droves because they think that we don't have any answers. I think we need to teach them to think different.